We're talking Civil War in week three. None of it feels right, but here we are. The game is tomorrow. And a man who has called many of these games and seen many of these rivalry matchups, one of our favorites, Mike Parker, the voice, longtime voice of the Oregon State Beavers, at MEPOSU on Twitter. Doc, good morning to you. Before we get to the game and just catch up with you, because we love chatting with you, there was a bit of news that came out yesterday, and I'm sure you got tired of talking about it over the last, 18 months or so, not knowing what the future is going to hold. But now we got a little bit of a glimpse of what this will look like for Oregon State. I just curious your reaction to the news yesterday and the decision, let's rebuild the conference starting with the four best teams in the Mountain West.
Boys, good morning. And because we've done this long enough, even though I had misgivings early in our on-the-air relationship of calling you guys Dirt and Sprague, it just didn't feel quite right. Good morning, Dirt. Good morning, Sprague.
Nice. It almost felt like a civil war in week three, right? It just doesn't quite feel right,
No, it doesn't feel right, but it, whatever the case, I'm honored to be on with you guys. And yes, Andy, to answer your question, I like the fact that going into this game and this early in the year, earlier than I had anticipated, and maybe even a little bit earlier than all the powers that be behind the scenes were working, to create a path forward. Maybe it happened a little more quickly. I think it did. I think we were all caught a little bit. I don't know about you. I wasn't expecting that this week per se, but they Scott Barnes has said that there was a hope to be able to have something ready to announce by the time the rivalry game arrived, and we're on the eve of it now, and it was announced, as you said, yesterday, although our phones were blowing up the night before, and then the news was made official yesterday morning. And I do think it's good news in the sense that there's some definition now. I have a feeling that there still may be some in Beaver Nation and elsewhere, and I get it if there is, that we wanted an invite to the Big 12. We wanted the ACC to implode a little bit and then created the Eastern and Western Coast versions of that league and be in a Power Four and maintain that kind of status with the kind of media rights that could go with that and all of that. I understand that. But as always, another option always on the table was a rebuild of the Pac-12 rather than just being absorbed into another conference. And I see the critics from the outside talking about, well, this is the MW plus version now of the Mountain West. I can understand that, but we don't know quite what's going to happen now in completing the rebuild of the Pac-12. But to get, as you said, the four best, the four core members, and to begin to build it out again from there to the required eight, maybe to nine, maybe more. Again, that's what gives Scott Barnes and Ann McCoy some flexibility here now to keep their eyes open, but at least with a plan to know that the plan is we're rebuilding the Pac-12, that the Pac-12 will continue as an entity, and I think that's great news.
Yeah. Well, Doc, I kind of want to follow up. Like, that's good news. There's some certainty here now with the future, a definition as you describe it. I go back a couple months. This blows up about, a little over a year ago, and so Oregon State's kind of left. Where were you on playing this weekend's game? You've been attached to this on both sides and largely the Oregon State stuff professionally. Where were you at on this matchup happening? Were you in the, I don't want this game, screw them? Or were you in the, this is familiar territory, we have to have this game? And to kind of follow that up, what you expect this atmosphere to be? Because I've been in some loud ones. I know you've been in several loud ones. This one feels as personal as you could possibly get for a game.
No doubt, Brandon, and you understand that, and I think most people understand that sense of bitterness and anger, resentment, and the never again, we're done with you attitude that's I still hear this week on our local show here in the Mid-Valley, the Joe Beaver Show. We've had calls and texts from people saying, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to the game. I'm not watching the game. I'm not even going to listen to the game. I don't know why they would subject themselves to that if they're not going to do the other.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? But they're not there. So that sentiment, that feeling still exists in some segments. I never was in that camp for several reasons, not out of any, sentimental love for the old alma mater or whatever. No, that wasn't it at all. For me, the idea of playing the game rose for a couple of reasons, that it was a good idea. One, that the Beavers, in trying to build out a schedule and trying to stay as viable and relevant as possible in the 2024 season before we kind of had a clear definition of a path forward, I thought it was important to have a good schedule. And you knew Oregon was going to be very good. And I know that's part of the rub on the other side. But the idea of being able to play a team like Oregon and follow that up with Purdue, and you still have Cal and Washington State as traditional, you know, Power Four schools on your conference, to have a game like that in your own stadium, I thought made a lot of sense from just a strength of schedule standpoint. To play well in the game seemed to be the original idea. We'll get more to about the game itself now that we're on the eve of it. Playing well may not, you know, that may not be satisfactory enough. Now the Bees, rightly, I feel, think they do have a good shot at winning this football game tomorrow. But beyond all of that, the strength of schedule aspect of it, and more deeply to me, is the fact that this is the 128th edition of the rivalry game that began 130 years ago. And it's just been part of the fabric of our lives. I know it has been. So maybe there is a sentimental twinge. This will be my 52nd consecutive game in person. I've not missed one since I moved to the Beaver State in 1973.
Wow.
And I love the event. This will be the 26th game I've had an honor to call. So to me, it is such a part of what and who we are in this state, that to lose it, even though there may have been reasons to cancel the series and let it simmer for a while and bring it back if the circumstances were right, I think that the television revenue, what the game can mean for the Beavers on the schedule and the strength of schedule and trying to stay relevant, I thought all of those things argued for keeping the game. And now the start of the two teams, even though both, you can't be any better than 2-0, and we get that. But now the game itself, with the news this week, with the national lens from Fox on the game, I think the timing couldn't have worked out any better to play the game and have a good chance to win it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really well said, Doc. And I'd be curious to ask all the fans who didn't want it, if Oregon State does win tomorrow, are they singing a slightly different tune? Because I would imagine
also,
they would be.
Doc, you've been in radio a long time, and I know that Joe Beaver show has a loyal following. You also know, and I know you don't need to say this, they're lying to you. I'm not going to watch. You are going to watch.
They're
going to
check that score. If it's 17-14
absolute
in the third quarter,
liars,
your eyeballs and ears are going towards that game tomorrow.
You're right, and we have invited back. Hey, anybody, look, if you say you're not going, and somebody just said, you know, you're hiking up Mary's Peak later in the afternoon, and somebody says, hey, the Beavers won, you're invited to come back and call us on Monday to share that, how you receive the news. We're not going to, you know, if you say you're boycotting, we're not boycotting you. I remember you guys don't, but I do. I remember
right.
In 1994. When the World Series was canceled because of the player strike and there was no World Series, so many people called the show. In fact, it was on the Fan that I was working on on the Fan. Yeah. Everything's on the Fan.
On the Fan, and Doc. I still finish a beer and say on the Fan on every the fan, time fan. Because of Mike Doc Parker.
I've lived most of the rest of my life. I mean, you know, I'm on the plane to San Diego State, and the flight attendant asked, you know, would you like something to drink? Yeah, I think a Diet Pepsi on the Fan. You know, I mean, it's that type of thing. I throw it in here and there because it was such a big part of my life in those days. And so on the Fan in 1995, there were callers saying, I'm done with baseball. Baseball's dead to me. Those same voices I remember were reveling over Edgar's hit into the left field corner later that year.
Yeah.
And so, I remember, I thought you were done with baseball. Well, you know, so I think you're right. I think you're on to something. A 3-0 start, a win over the rival, I think might reel back a few people, even if they had left at all.
Yeah, we're talking with Mike Doc Parker, longtime voice of the Beavers, longtime part of this rivalry, the game tomorrow at 12:30. You mentioned a new sense of confidence. I think that's definitely true, but primarily because of the way Oregon has looked. And if you tell me, you know, I'm looking at my team this weekend, Doc, you tell me their offense is funky and their offensive line is an issue, I'm not surprised. The one thing that leaves me somewhat confident is I don't know what to make of Oregon State's offensive passing game. I'm curious what you've seen from that side of the ball and where you think McCoy is at going into week three with a new coordinator and Ryan Gunderson, and just what they're doing offensively right now.
It's still an open question. It certainly has not been answered completely. 140 plays, 109 times running the ball, and why not? Because they've ran it very effectively behind a pretty cohesive offensive line that did take a blow with Tyler Bolton out for the year, the starting right guard. But Kyle Devan, the O-line coach, has been rotating players in, and I think in Flavio Gonzalez as a guy that can pick up and continue to perform well. They've been getting good push and movement, and the running backs have shown vision, save for one time. They've also secured the ball and really have had a powerful run game and haven't asked Giovanni, haven't needed him to do a great deal in the passing game. However, the one thing that I was encouraged by last week at San Diego State, that 98-yard drive required some. I mean, they didn't just run it 98 yards. In fact, a couple of the big plays, when they got to second and 25, that looked like that drive was going to be dead, and they were going to have to punt the ball back, still only up one score. And on back-to-back plays, Giovanni hit some big-time throws to get into Aztec territory, complete the drive, and go on to dominate from there and win it 21-0. But not only those types of throws in those situations, I thought his accuracy and arm strength was better for me than I'd seen in either the spring or the fall camp, when I was thinking, what does Gundy have here? What do the Beavers have here in Giovanni McCoy? Well, what they had, it looked to me, on a number of throws, was the guy that lit it up for Idaho, particularly 2 years ago. 27 touchdowns, 7 INTs, and good accuracy. And the arm strength, guys, the ability to throw the hash mark opposite sideline outs, the Taz Reddicks and David Wells Jr., hard, accurate, good throws that I hadn't seen in the Idaho State game. And so it was enough. It was enough to convince me that Gundy's got some things up his sleeve that are going to help him continue to grow. We haven't seen the best of him yet. We haven't needed to. Probably will need to against a great secondary that leads the country, Oregon does, and passes defended. It's a really good, physical, long, talented, fast group. So we'll find out this Saturday how far Giovanni's come. But so far, his growth from the spring to fall camp to where he is now, it looks to me like he's growing into the quarterback they need him to be, particularly this Saturday.
At risk of upsetting my producer, I have to ask you this because you just brought it to my head in thinking about Gundy. He was there long ago with Riley as one of the quarterback, coaches and helping out. He leaves, he departs to Nebraska, he goes on this journey, he's back now. He played in this rivalry, he won't lean into it, he doesn't want bulletin board material. Just being around him, it's been a few years since you saw him last in Corvallis as an assistant, and now he's the play caller. Have you noticed any changes, any difference in Ryan Gunderson, the OC, from what he was once upon a time, the player/assistant coach?
He's always been a very astute observer of the game. That was one of the things that was evident when he was playing here, albeit primarily in a backup role. He did start in a Fog Bowl Civil War game that, after Matt Moore went down in 2005. He's always been shrewd and observant and somewhat understated in all of that. Not a real, rah-rah, fiery sort of personality guy when he was a player. And this, I've seen him off and on through the years at the various stops, and it's clear that the maturation of his offensive philosophy is, that's on display in his confidence. That's the thing I like most about Ryan is he feels coacherly. I mean, he understands what he's up to, and even I think he had a momentary snide remark in fall camp where he said, look, I'll do the coaching of a team, and you can write your stories or whatever.
Right.
I can't remember whom the interlocutor was, but I remember thinking some people could take that the wrong way and think, what kind of jerk? No, there was nothing jerkish or rude per se. It was a statement made out of, I know what I'm doing. And I feel like that's the vibe he's conveyed since I've seen him last when we were around him more back in his playing days, and I haven't seen a lot of him since. But it's clear that the tutelage he's received under good coaches like Coach Riley and Brent Brennan, Chip Kelly, and his own mind, he's put together concepts, ideas that he owns And we've only seen just a touch of some of the stuff that's yet to come. But I know he's confident in how he's grown as a coach and what he is able to convey to his players how to execute. I think he's just a really mature young man. It's great to have a former Beaver back in that role.
Yeah, Mike Doc Parker, he's one of our favorites, longtime voice of the Oregon State Beavers. Congrats on calling yet another Civil War tomorrow. It's weird to have it in September, but I'm sure some of that normalcy will come when we see the orange and the black and the green and the yellow on the field. And it is always great to have you on the Fan, Doc. Have a great call tomorrow, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Well, it is nice to actually be, you know, when I throw my references out, even on a jog in Corvallis on occasion, somebody will say, "Hey, Mike, how's it going?" "Yeah, I'm great on the Fan." You know, so it's nice to actually be occasionally with you guys on the real Fan, on the Fan. And so thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward. Brandon, you allude to the atmosphere. Yeah. It'll be rowdy and rollicking, and it'll be a fun place to be. Thanks for having me on, guys.